Welcome to the show, everybody. It's the Fat Thor Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Gunnan. Along with me, my co-host, Jody C. Tide of Midget Mafia OG. What's up, Jody?
What's up, sir? How you doing?
Good, brother. I am exhausted. I am tired. I drove all night, got home at 4:30 this morning from Washington, D.C., which we will talk about in a little bit. Big announcement for me, career, everything. Huge. Kind of weird. We'll talk about it when we have our guest in here, who I'll bring in in just 2 seconds. Let's bring him now. Screw it. Screw it. Again, this is unscripted today. I'm running on fumes for the last 3 weeks with shows. We'll talk about those and everything else. And my guests will sympathize and understand and tell me, suck it up, buttercup. You know, only gets worse. if you don't know him, you will. If you haven't heard of him, you will. You have and you should. He's a comedian. He travels all over. He's been headlining everywhere. I've had the pleasure of knowing him and calling him a friend for the last few years. And we've done several shows. I've been on his podcast, Wake Up Late with Dougie, which is a great podcast for comedians and fun stuff. Welcome to the show, Dangerous Dougie Almeida.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, brother?
Yes, sir.
How are you going, sir? Man?
I'm doing good, man. I wasn't on the road driving from Washington, D.C. last night. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my dude. Back. I pulled 11 hours straight, man. Straight. Left D.C. at 5 o'clock. Worst time to leave D.C., by the way.
Oh, my God. Usually when I have these long trips, I change my name from Doug to Ned. Somebody's like, what's that mean? Like, never-ending driver.
Yeah. Dude, I was jacked, man. I was on that after show, after big kind of thing, adrenaline high. You know what that's like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That and a shotgun, about 3 espressos, and I was gone.
That never works for me, man. I'll take some espressos, or I'll get one of those like Starbucks double shot ones. You know, that white mocha chocolate one. It's just delicious. And you know, I'll be driving for 2 hours, and all of a sudden, I'll get a concrete cap. I'll be like.
I thought I was the only one who did that.
Oh my God. Nothing worse than trying to stay awake when you're driving. You're like slapping your fucking
face. Oh, I know. Trust me. I know. I did that in Ohio Saturday coming back, and I stopped at 1:30. I'd planned on, I'd started doing that at 1:30, and then I had to get off and negotiate with like 5 hotels. You know, it's like, come on, man, 185. You know, it's like, I finally got one for like 110. You know, so I was like, okay, I can sleep here for 110 for 4 hours. It was one of those. It's like, I gotta have something.
That's when you do that. Yeah. If the president was here, what would you, you know, do for them? You know what I mean? Because nothing worse than going to a hotel at 2 a.m. and go, it's $180. I'm like, bitch, I'm checking out in 4 hours.
Right. You know? I just need a nap and a shower and a shit.
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling like I'm going to take a shit and leave it all over the walls of the bathroom. You know, I just want to sleep. You know what I mean? Heck, I'll sleep on top of the covers, like you're going to wash the sheets anyway.
Yeah. I won't even make any trash for you. Yeah. And I guarantee I'll use one towel.
Yeah. And that towel will be a bit crusty by the morning, but I'm going to use it.
Right. I'm going to use it.
And if I need to, I'll take it with me.
Yes.
I ain't taking that shit with me.
Like, I ain't taking that shit with me. You know how many towels I have?
Smell of bleach in the car for 8 hours. Someone gets in your car and they're like, well, who's been cleaning in here? It's not cleaning solution.
Yeah, it's not cleaning solution. Oh, geez. Yeah,
this is the last towel I took from a hotel, by the way. There you
go. And he's got it with him.
Yeah, you never know.
He has it with him, folks. He's ready to go. Be prepared, Dougie, man. You're always prepared, brother. You're always prepared.
That's right, man. Fortune favors the prepared mind. One of my favorite quotes.
Yeah. Yes, you do have some good advice and quotes, and I've taken a lot of it to heart, and some of it I have done, some of it I have not. So I'll admit it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, you're everywhere, dude. You're headlining everywhere. You're on a big roll, it seems like, man. It's awesome.
Doesn't it always seem relative, though? Like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not doing enough. I just need this guy. I got to work harder. I got to work harder.
Yeah.
And then I'll go somewhere and they're like, dude, you're all over the place. I'm like, shut up. You know, it's like, you know, it just never seems like enough, you know, but you know, whatever, you know, yeah. I got to thank my agent, Al Maida, who's my agent, does all my bookings.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, man. You are. I've noticed a big difference. And just the short period that we know, I was like, he's everywhere. He's everywhere now. I mean, not that he haven't been doing shows. It's just like, holy crap, he's there this weekend. He's there this weekend. I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, what's he doing? I'm like, he's killing it, man. Killing it.
Yeah. Whenever you see that, you have that moment. Like, even if you like people, you're like, fuck. You know, it's kind of asshole. Not that, how'd he get in there, that jerk off? And then you're like, oh, but he's my friend. He's actually good for him.
No, you're one of those, like, he deserves this. He deserves it. He deserves everything he's getting in. And I'm super awesome. Super proud of him. Just like, yeah, man, go.
It was weird. Just a few months ago, I got a few calls from places that said, hey, you know, you available this? And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, they gave me headline numbers. I'm like, okay, yeah, great. I'm headlining. He's like, yeah, well, yeah. I'm like, what'd you expect? And I'm like, well, I was expecting.
Sure. Absolutely. That's exactly what happened to me yesterday in DC. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And that's funny. And then you get those calls. It's like, okay, I'll do that. And then they go, oh, you're doing this block of time. What?
Yeah, exactly. So that was a big change here in the last few months where clubs that I've never been at just said, hey, we're headlining you and stuff. So nice. That was cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's nice when you can go to a gig and bring money home.
Right.
You know. And even maybe make enough money where you can actually get a bag of weed and an Asian massage
right
on the weekend.
Right. You know? Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's why I'm selling shirts now. I got shirts made. They're selling. That's what got me to DC and back is I printed a bunch of shirts and I sold 15 before I went. And that's what got me there and back.
That's it, man. I got a new merch shirt that says hashtag not me.
Oh, nice.
And it's actually easier to sell than Ancestry.com t-shirts. Because every time I have a shirt that says Ancestry.com, keep it in the family.
Right.
And there's always people that are like, I would buy that, but I could never wear it. I'm like, well, don't be a pussy. You know, that's the idea of the shirt. You know, I always tell them the new thing that started buying it. I said, guys, if you want to know what it's like to be a chick with big tits, just wear this shirt because everybody reads that Ancestry. When people walk up, they're reading it and they think it says Ancestry. So they're like, and then once they read it and they go,
and it processes.
Like, what a fucking, yeah, everybody gives you those looks. And of course, my big seller t-shirt is all Richards are dicks.
Nice.
It's a very truthful statement there. We like to lead with the truth.
That is true. And I do like that shirt. I do like that shirt.
Absolutely.
I really like it. That's a good one right there. Yeah, the sugar hookers kicked off for me. My wife said I should do that one first. I was getting some pushback on I wax my hamster, but I'm coming out with those. But I got stickers for those, and I was like, so we did sugar hooker first, and they're selling them. Even the ladies love them. The ladies want them.
Well, yeah, because they all want to be sugar hookers.
Exactly. Exactly.
it's better than, I guess a sugar hooker is better than a sugar daddy.
Right,
right, because you want to be a sugar daddy. Well, you know, hey, I'm not a daddy. I'm a they. Okay, a they. You know, that's what your next shirt. Your next shirt should be sugar theys. You know,
sugar theys. It doesn't go with my Girl Scout joke though.
Oh, rewrite the fucking joke, dude.
I will. I've rewritten this like five times. I swear to God. You know, I'll rewrite it to whatever sells. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's I'm not married to anything. Like, I'm not one of those this joke stays here because it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, that's something I've been doing a lot this year is repunching up jokes. Like, you know, taking words and looking at them and go, you know, I could say this better. There's a better phrasing to this joke. And it's amazing how one or two words in a joke can just really elevate it. And it's amazing.
Oh yeah. It blows your mind, just like with us with a Davy J in Greenville, South Carolina, sitting around talking after a show, and he changed three words or dropped two words or something like that.
Davy J had a joke about going to Disney, how there's no gifts for the dads, you know, and he had a joke about what he said that you can get a coffee mug or something. So I was like, but and then you can get a Mickey Mouse alarm clock to wake your ass up to get to fucking work.
Yeah.
And then it was funny because Steve Trevino after the show was like, hey, Dave, you know, the funniest joke you told tonight wasn't even yours.
Yeah, no, that was funny. That was funny when he said that.
Yeah,
I fell out of, I thought I fell, you know, I fell out.
Yeah, that was like, You know, I've met a few comics recently that did that. Like, you know, if somebody gives me a tag or something, especially if I respect them, I mean, if it's some open micer that comes up to you, hey, I was thinking about giving you a tag. I'm like, fuck, I wouldn't.
Like that know. Drunk kid after the show one time. Like, oh, my God. That's true story. And I was there for it. And it was one of Steve Trevino's shows, too.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Coming. I remember it was funny. I was working with Jim Florentine. And, you know, an open micer from South Florida comes up to Jim with a notepad and goes, hey, Jim, I have a couple tags for you. And Jim's like, oh, really? What are you, a rookie? You know, like, what? You know, what the fuck? So, but, you know, it's great when somebody tried, like, that's what the thing was great. We gave Dave that tag, yep. And then he did it on the next show. Yep. Some people were like, I'll throw it out in a regular show or some shit. Right. But he fucking put it out there. And
I did.
I love it when hit. People do that. Yeah.
It hit. It was just so fun to watch that it was like it worked, you know, it's just we know it works, it's gonna work. It's like, but are you gonna really roll it out there? And he did, yeah. He rolled it out there.
Yeah. And even his face, he told it and he was like,
yeah, you can see it in his face. He just looked over he's like a deer in headlights, like, holy shit.
And Andy and I are in the back of the room going, fuck yeah.
We're like two kids like jumping up and down on couches.
Yeah, it was great.
That's the fun stuff. That's when, you know, all the bullshit, the money, just we're just like, we're in the moment, having a good time and seeing a guy do really well, you know. And it's just that's what's fun. That's really fun.
Absolutely.
Because you can't watch yourself, you know, you're just up there, you get, and then when you get to see, like, I'm gonna have that moment one day, or I've had that, you know, and it's just great to watch that happen organically.
And by the way, Andy, if you could do me a favor, could you wipe your face just a little more every once in a while?
Dude, I'm sweating. I'm sweating so bad. I'm not in the garage, man. I am sweating.
You look like you're on a fucking motorcycle at 100 miles an hour.
I don't know why. I think it's all the caffeine I've drank in the last, like, 6 hours. I had those three espresso drinks where I rolled in at 4:30. I just popped up, chugged a coffee, and ran around and was, like, blowing leaves because I got to start writing and working on stuff. So I guess my body's now like, hey, fatty, sweat.
yeah, that stressed wet.
Yeah, it is. I'm just like pouring it out. I haven't even been drinking. I would love to say, yeah, I got hammered last night. It's all the booze coming. Nope, I haven't drank in days.
Yeah, that's just pressure sweat.
It is. And I am under pressure. I am very much under pressure. So let's just go ahead and roll this out and be done with it, start tiptoeing around it. So yesterday, for those who have been following and saw the post, I ended up in Washington, D.C. last minute yesterday for an opportunity that fell in my lap from another fellow comedian who called me, who I had did a show with in Louisiana, Chris Crawford, very good comedian out of Texas, funny guy, loved working with him. And he's like, hey, man, I think you'd be perfect for this audition. I can't go do it. Found it. You fit the bill. I think you could do really well with this. So I read it, sent it to my wife. She goes, go do it. I was like, well, I got to drive to DC tomorrow, you know, Tuesday. Got a haul ass up there, get a hotel, and it all on my dime. So that's why I was pumping shirts, selling shirts. So for those who bought the shirts during the shirt special, thank you. I'm going to continue it on. You got me there and back with the gas money, because that's an 11-hour trip almost, 660 miles. So what it was is an audition, and I made it through. And what it is that I am going to be here. Let me pull this up. So everybody, if those watching, I will be
Paul Pelosi's bodyguard.
I will be part of the presidential campaign tour for the next 2 years, performing comedy at over 200 venues for Robert Quigley for president. We start Tuesday, November 8th, where he'll make his presidential announcement that he's running for president and the independent ticket in Greenville, South Carolina at Alchemy Comedy Theater. We'll be doing 200 shows across the country, New York, on Broadway, Harlem. We've got shows all over, all the funny bones across the country and all that. So I went up there to audition to be a feature, a part of this thing. Didn't think I had a chance in hell. I walked away, and he said, you're going to be one of my four headliners to do these shows starting Tuesday.
That's awesome.
Dude. Well done, man. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, why didn't I get the audition, motherfucker? What's wrong with me? This fucking guy sweating his balls off. going to be on stage. And so I want you guys to vote for him.
Vote for him. Climate change is a bitch. I'm sweating. Climate change is a bitch. But yeah, it's a great concept. You know, he's like, look, I just want you guys to have fun. We sat in a 3-hour meeting yesterday, writers meeting slash audition. I was just there for the feature role. And he goes, no, you're going to be one of the headliners. I was like, huh? And that, which doubles my pay, which is great. Fantastic. Thank you, sir, for having that much confidence in me. But we're going to get to make fun of both Democrats and Republicans. He's like, and I, you know, I was up front. I don't have a lot of political stuff. And I don't write political. I can. I have some stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So I rolled some of it out. He goes, no, it's perfect, man. He was great. He goes, and that's what he was looking for. He's like, just keep it clean because sometimes we're going to open these up to families and kids, some of them, not all of them. And I'm like, I'm, you know, cool. That's kind of how I roll. And thanks for that. And so now I got to start writing out my ass for this. So,
do you need a midget mascot?
Dude, that'd be awesome.
I can audition.
Dude, that'd be awesome. I thought about it already, man. I thought about
just
it already.
Just sit on his fucking shoulder, you know.
Yeah.
Parrot.
But no, it was great. And he's like, you know, and some of it's fundraising for, you know, the campaign, but we do a full comedy show at the beginning. We, you know, I'll do a set, another comedian do set. It'll be anywhere from 2 to 4 comedians on the ticket. Then we'll do a fun debate thing where we, you know, two of us or one of us is a Democrat, one of us is a Republican. He throws out there, we just say ridiculous stuff. And then that's he amazing. Goes, into, yeah, so I am just, and I had just had a conversation a week ago with another comedian, like, man, I was like, I need more shows. I'm trying to get to 50 weeks a year. I want, you know, this is kind of what my new goal is for the next coming years. And I said, that's just to make this viable. And he was like, okay. And then he goes, how are you going to do that? I was like, I don't know. And then this came in my lap, and guess what? I got 200 shows now for the next 2 years.
That's the way you got to do it, man. You got to put it out there in the universe. I really believe in that. You know, it's like if you're sitting around going, oh, why didn't I get this? Oh, what's wrong with me? You know, then you're going to be sitting home playing fucking crossword puzzles or Sudoku. And you know, and you know, that's why, you know, the same, like I said, like a year ago, the same thing happened. My early 2021 schedule was like, this sucks, you know? And then boom, like January hit, and then all of a sudden, like 6 weeks filled. And like I said to you too, the same thing. I'm like, oh, you know, I got to get going. Next thing you know, CG's calls me in Illinois. Hey, we're headlining you. Oh, you know, JP's in Arizona. We're headlining you. I'm like, oh, damn, you know, this is awesome. So, but yeah, dude, it's all it takes, man. Just keep your fucking chin up, both of them.
Yeah.
And
well, like we talked about before, keeping the ball rolling. Yeah. I mean, once you get rolling, yeah.
Yeah, just like Jody with his TikTok. Now you've got, what, 3 million followers on TikTok now between the two accounts because they reopened you back up? I mean, Dougie, I don't know if you knew this. Jody's a big TikTok. I mean, he's got 3 million now between two accounts.
Wow, dude. Well, this is just in. I don't know if you heard, but the Department of Homeland Security is now banning TikTok. So you're fucked. At any rate.
Yeah.
Oh, he's already been canceled once.
You know, there's some Chinese guy going, who is this a fucking guy?
Right.
He's just a little guy. Oh, he's so popular.
They banned him. He's not done anything bad or crude or anything or cuss or nothing. They banned him. So he opens up another account. It gets almost like 600,000. They gave you your old one back.
Yeah.
Now between the two, he's got over 3 million.
Damn, nice, man. I got like 380 followers on my TikTok. You know, the thing that's amazing about fucking TikTok, you watch one video that has like 10 million views and it's some putz, you know, like sticking his finger in his belly button,
yeah.
You know, and then I'll be like, I'll put a fucking great, like 90 second, you know, whatever minute clip in there. And it's like 100 views. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, there's a trick.
Yeah.
That's when you're suppressed. That's when you know you're suppressed. Oh, yeah. I'm suppressed. Right? They're suppressing the hell out of me. They fly me, suppress me. I gave up on it. I was like, I'm getting better traction out of the Facebook reels and Instagram stuff. So I'm just like,
it's the Chinese army.
Yeah, exactly. I thought about deleting the other day. You know, I'm like, I don't know. And it's already installed. The spyware is already in my system. So I'm like, they know it all anyways.
Well, they knew it before that come out anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you notice your post person is now a Chinese guy? Here's your mail, Andy.
Yeah. I got some new neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. Chinese army.
Like they did in the 80s, putting Russian families in Virginia and around.
See, that's the thing. That's your new gig, by the way. This isn't some guy running for independent. This is a Chinese mole.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, dude, I've thought of all the crazy scenarios. Like, man, what if this thing gets going? Because we were talking about the attention, you know, like once the media gets out there, once he gets out there, you know, what's going to be happening and things like that. I'm like, huh, I'm like, I wonder if I start having like weird CIA spies follow me. That'd be cool.
And he's at the audition going, well, I get Secret Service.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, he's got like undercover people already.
I don't want to get hammered.
Yeah. I want to get. Yeah, exactly. I need to get hammered.
You know, there's going to be somebody that goes, oh, Dougie's so inconsiderate. Burr, 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 burr. You know, fuck you. Listen, you know, all the money he made on inside training should pay for his medical bills, for God's
sake. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, dude, I did a joke about insider trading yesterday. It hit like a lead balloon in that room. I was like, okay, well,
Well, we had a scenario where Paul Pelosi was supposedly at a show in Greenville. One of the comics said that. So during when the check drop came, I looked at the guy, said, excuse me, sir, don't worry. The establishment takes Amex, MasterCard, and oh, yeah, Visa. You know Visa. That's the cut stock he actually turned. Yeah, dude. And I had Steve Mudflap McGrew on my podcast this week, and he was bringing up, you know, because, you know, everybody's saying, look, the guy got beaten up. But there's a lot of question marks going on with this attack.
Right.
In that, you know, all the security there, they don't want to show. They don't want to release the 911 call where supposedly when it was somebody had heard it that he says he knew the guy's name. He says he knows him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'd heard something about it. I haven't not dove into this thing totally. I've been so busy, you know, but I know just the service details of supposedly knew the guy's name. So supposedly the cops stood there and watched and didn't do anything as the struggle ensued. That's about as far as I know.
Yeah, and then supposedly the guy let him go into the bathroom. You know, a lot of people are saying, look, when he was drunk, you know, there was a saying when he got pulled over for drunk driving, there was people that said there was somebody in the car with him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a guy doing the old smoke 'em slow in the front seat with him. Who knows? and all this happens when his wife is out of town.
Right. You know, it's kind of weird.
So they got to release the body cam footage when they got there, you know, they were fighting over the hammer. It turns out it wasn't a hammer. It was a double dong dildo that they called a hammer. You know, it's going to be funny if you find out he got his head beaten in with a fucking dildo.
Dude, that'd be hilarious. That'd be so funny. I would laugh so much.
Yeah. A real picture showing a double dong and they're both in their underwear. I mean.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Dude, I would roll that into my Happy Meal, my adult Happy Meal joke, talking about how Grimace looks like a butt plug and yada, yada.
Yeah. Wow, now I know why you got that gig.
Yes, dude. I'm telling
Grimace
you, man.
Grimace is a butt club. That's fucking creative.
Man, I'll show my starfish for a Reese's. What do you think I did up there?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's Washington, D.C. I'm looking at the Capitol. Yeah, I mean, we know what goes on. Look.
That little Chinese man climbed up in you.
Climb up in me, roll around. Let's go. Do a little jig, do a dance. I don't care. Daddy needs to get paid. Daddy needs to get paid.
You never know. It's like, you know, it's funny because Steve was telling me he had issues right now because he put on, I guess when Halloween came, he put a picture on Twitter. It's like, I'm putting on my Paul Pelosi costume, which was a underwear, pair of tighty whities and a hammer on the bed.
No,
so I think Don Trump Jr. Retweeted it. So he got a shitload of, you know, retweets. And then of course he's getting hate mail, you know, how dare you, you know,
yeah.
All of a sudden people are feeling bad for the rich elitist, you know,
right.
Who doesn't have to, you know, is above the law as we're going to probably find out.
Right. Exactly. I mean, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I want to see it. Where did he retweeted it? When was that, the other day?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact day, but dude, we were talking about it. You know, hey, you know, it's
did he take it down or did he leave it up?
No, he ain't taking that shit down. That was one of my questions. I'm always, you know, because listen, you know, if anybody's been hit with cancel culture, it's been Steve Mudflap McGrew.
Yes.
You know, he got banned from Brad Garrett's club in Vegas because of his political stances on social media. You know, Steve doesn't do any jokes about politics and shit.
Right.
You know, it's just his personal stance yet these clubs. But what I have noticed on the road is that there's a lot more people making fun of Biden. You know, it's actually becoming a little more acceptable.
100%.
How could you not make fun of this walking Muppet?
I know.
You know, and then, you know, we saw him yesterday address the nation. And instead of saying, hey, I know you've got inflation. I know there's a war in Ukraine. I know China's about to invade Taiwan. I know a gallon of milk costs $55. I know there's going to be food shortages. There's a diesel shortage. You know, no, what's he going? MAGA, you know, half the country are evil. And you need to vote with Democrats. Otherwise, you're all going to be fucked. You know, I mean.
He's basically like a Baptist preacher now.
And you always know when he's on certain medications, because he'll usually, with certain medications, he's like.
Yeah, he's zooted out.
He's like.
Yeah, he just they figured out, I guess, you know, did you remember back in Easter where he was out on the lawn and starts talking to a reporter about Afghanistan, and then the Easter bunny comes up and takes him away, like, stop talking, you know? It's like
Easter bunny is actually the person running the country right now.
Right, exactly. And they're like, we gotta get him on some different drugs, he's talking too much, he's too happy. But that's what I'm excited about this gig, because I mean, again, I've stayed away from politics and political, not to split the room, being, you know, I don't want to get booked. So now I'm getting paid to do it. You get to do it.
I've got a reason.
Yeah. I'm like, woohoo, let's go.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be too hard to write jokes about him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and you know, people keep, this is the thing. Listen, I'm a Republican. You know, I voted for Trump, but I'll be honest, I don't want to see him back either. I want to see DeSantis.
Yeah.
I want to see Nikki Haley as the vice president. Mm-hmm. No offense against your guy. Okay, your independent candidate.
Yeah.
But listen, he didn't hire me. Fuck him.
So, exactly. Fucking, you know. Robert Quinn,
I'm gonna go to your shows and hold up an AOC sign. I wanna fuck AOC. I wanna fuck AOC.
Dude, if you do that, I will be ready. We will have the best damn time. I will be shooting off stuff to you and you shooting it back. It will be the best damn time.
Absolutely. Man, it's a crazy world.
Oh, it's crazy. It's stupid. It's stupid. That's why, you know, that's why I was just sitting there in that room and he goes, just have fun. He goes, it's about fun. He goes, it's about fun and the funny and the stupid. He goes, I don't need you to beat down. He goes, I don't need you to punch down. He goes, I'll talk about my plan. He goes, just have fun. Just with the stupidity and the stuff that's out there. I'm like, nice. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to be evil and vindictive. He goes, just have fun with it. I'm like,
just stand there with an ice cream cone. That's all you
got
to do.
Dude, I got so many ice cream things. I got a Baskin Robbins 31 flavors joke already. I've got all kinds of shit coming out, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Biden's new 31 flavors. There's no recession.
Yes.
Flavor. Exactly. The China lolly, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, the bubblegum ice cream has nothing but Percocets in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called the Pelosi special.
It comes with a cracked cone.
Yeah. I'm gonna write my whole set right here on the show.
Canceling me.
You get it. Right. I make it through one show. I'm off the tour.
they're dragging me down.
Dragging me down. That's hilarious. Did y'all do anything for Halloween?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I was on the road. Huh?
Who the fuck does anything for Halloween anymore? You know. You know, I had one kid show up at our door, which was great, because then I got to keep all the, because my wife bought a box of all regular sized chocolate bars, like Reese's, Hershey's, and all that shit. And I'm like, the one kid who came, I was about to break the Hershey bar in half. Here, fucker.
That's awesome.
I need this more than you do.
That's awesome. Dude, we bought $50 worth of candy last year. And we bought the good shit, Reese's, Almond Joys, and all that. We had no kids. It was the weirdest thing. So then I'm off running around Monday on Halloween, doing some stuff in the city, doing, trying to do some sets and just working on stuff because my stepdaughter Riley is 15 and she was sick and didn't feel good about going. So I was like, you know, I'm out. I'm finally officially done with kids and trick or treating. And my wife calls me and goes, thank God I bought a bag of candy. We've been having kids left and right. Now, I had a bag of Reese's Pumpkins. She goes, hey, we're running low. And I go, don't tell me what you're about to tell me. Don't tell me you got my damn bag of Reese's goddamn pumpkins. She's like, I did. I'm like, God dang it. She goes, you don't need them. I'm like, shut up. It's eating season.
Yeah, sorry, kids. We ran out. The kid's like, there's a whole bag back there. Shut up, you little punk.
I don't see you driving 12 hours across the country to earn that motherfucker. Yeah.
You try to write a fucking Biden joke, asshole.
Exactly.
Without chocolate.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Yeah. But I did get to, I started, me and my stepdaughter started watching horror movies together. We started at, like, when we first, me and Liz got together, and I forget what movie I showed her that scared the, and it wasn't even that scary, but I said, this year, I said, I'm going to start, you know, we started beginning of November, I said, I'm going to start you off with the original Jason, Friday the 13th, the original Freddy Krueger, and then she's like, these aren't that scary, and then I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, God, you're so desensitized, man, this scared my balls off in the 80s.
Well, we all know you were a big pussy back then. So
yeah, I was. Still am. Never said I wasn't. Never said I wasn't, Doug.
He's watching the movie. Oh, I can't take it. It's, yeah. Fucking, it's just the opening fucking credits.
But it is cool to go back and see. And go, oh, I forgot that part. Oh, I forgot how bad this. Boy, we've come a long way in film.
You know, it's funny. Two things. Number one, I was never. I think the reason why scary movies were never my thing. Number one, my brothers took me to the drive-in. We snuck into a drive-in when I was like 10. You know, and they're in their teenage, and we saw The Exorcist when it was out, which was a fucking scary movie, you know?
Yes.
You know, and then, I think Phantasm was a scary movie. Remember that old crusty old dude with the fucking ball flying through the air and shit.
Yeah.
But everything else to me was a joke. There was all, everything else is not scary. It's either gory, which is like, okay, that's just disgusting.
Right.
Or, you know, or like scary, like to this day, one of the scariest moments I ever had in the movie theater is when I watched Jaws for the first time. And that head pops out of the fucking bottom of the boat. Yes. Remember, and you're all sitting in the guy's swimming. The guy's fucking head pops out.
Yes.
You know, that was scary. You know, scary.
Yeah, well, that's scary because you're like, that could actually happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm not scared of shit that's crazy, like fucking zombies and shit. You know, the only thing that scares me about a zombie apocalypse, I got a bad knee and I'm fat. I may not be able to outrun a slow zombie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, zombie, it's like the tortoise. It's like the zombie and the fat fuck. Instead of the tortoise and the hare, you know, where the zombies, I'm gonna get that fat Dougie. Dougie's like, oh, my fucking knee, I gotta get out of the way. Can we have a halftime timeout? Timeout, zombie.
Hydrate, Dougie. Hey,
water break in the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's awesome. That's hilarious. You know, and so, you kind of teed off some movies. Jody, what's the best and worst horror movie you've seen or that's, you know, or you, I can't remember we've talked about this before, but.
I didn't watch a lot of horror movies, but did you ever watch Monkey Shines? It's a paraplegic dude. He's got a pet monkey to help him out. And the pet monkey ends up being like a devil-style monkey killing people. I watched that when I was like 11 years old, scared the crap out of me.
Never watched anything else. How did I miss this?
Oh, no.
Sounds amazing.
Remember the name, Monkey Shines.
Yeah. I might have seen it. It vaguely rings a bell, but I can't imagine any pictures or anything like that.
And it's
the
same thing as Jaws. I mean, you get a pet monkey and you don't know what can happen.
Right.
Remember that woman somewhere up in the Midwest that had a pet monkey and she loved it like a baby and ended up ripping her face off?
Yeah. That's happened several times. Yeah.
What can go wrong with having a primate as your pet?
Right. That's two and a half times as strong as a human.
It's isn't he cute?
Oh my God. Right. Well, they're cannibalistic to themselves in a group, in packs. They're cannibalistic to themselves. They'll eat their own. They'll beat down and kill their own, like, gruesomely.
Yeah, and then much these like people the Democratic Party.
But you know, here, you know, like the Democratic Party, exactly,
exactly.
But what? Oh yeah, but you know, we grew up with like in the 70s, and especially in the 70s or early 80s. I mean, you had like BJ and the Bear. There was monkeys on everything. You had Clint Eastwood doing Any Which Way But Loose, and everybody's like, ah, Reagan Dings and Michael Jackson, great. And then Michael Jackson gets one, and all of a sudden people start getting their face ripped off. And you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, right turn, Clyde.
Yeah, right turn, Clyde. Still a funny movie. Clint.
Oh, but you're right. There's certain movies, like even me, like I, as a big martial artist and everything, like I'll go back and watch like Bruce Lee movies, and I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, some of the shit's a little ridiculous. It's amazing, you know, with time and stuff. The movie.
Yeah, some things hold and some things don't, and you're like, ooh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
and you're like, yeah, no wonder these, you know, but you know it. I was trying to just kind of ease back into horror because apparently I traumatized Riley like 3 or 4 years ago with whatever movie. the movie that traumatized me as a kid was when I watched Aliens for the first time. I think I was like 8 or 9, and it was on TV. And when the alien popped out, it like freaked me out. And I jumped up and ran upstairs in my room. Like it was like,
yeah, he didn't eat for a week.
Yeah, I was like, what the frick was that? You know, like, I'm out.
Gets a little fucking gas. Oh my god, I'm gonna have a fucking alien baby.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ah! now they're doing the Predator origin story off of that.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's back, and because the last Predator one, another little alien popped out of the Predator on the ship, and now they're going back and doing the origin story of Predator and stuff like that.
That was that was a great mix of getting Predator and Alien together, right? I mean, that was
was. I was like, man, they're going to cheese this up. You know, it wasn't like Jason and Freddy in space. It was like, they actually did good with it.
You know, if you want to have a fucking good movie, Jason and Freddy at an Asian massage parlor. That would be a fun movie.
We're talking.
You know, Jason and Freddy at a strip club in Manhattan. You know,
there we go. You
know, stripper walks up to fucking Freddy. You know, you're going to give me a tip?
I'll give you the tip.
There's nothing worse than going to a strip club when they come up to you and ask you for a dollar. You know, it's like you're sitting at the bar and the girl comes walking by, tip me. I'm like, bitch, I don't even want to look at you.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
You should give me money for looking up.
Right. You're interrupting what I'm actually doing.
I'm watching. Yeah, because I love to come to strip clubs to watch TV. That's what I do.
And have a conversation.
That's right. I'm not here. All this other stuff is just extra, just extra,
just extra, just extra. Oh, that's one of the things in my agreement. They spelled out in this agreement, you know, what they pay, what they cover. And then there's a paragraph of what they don't. And it's like alcohol, drugs, strip club. Exactly. Like, it's okay. I'll use my personal money for that stuff. I won't expense that on the campaign.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is a fucking deal breaker, dude. This is a deal breaker.
Screw your 200 shows.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta go to the local rub and tug before every show. That's how my process. It's my process.
My process. Yeah, I have a process. Yeah. I need a bus and we need, and my wife's going like, did you just say that live? I'm like, yes, I said it live. It was like, yeah. I was like, God dang it. She's like, well, Eddie. I said, well, I'm not talking about you anymore.
Oh, that's okay then. That's okay. That's okay. Have fun.
Oh my God. Yeah. What shows you got coming up, Dougie?
Well, I'm going to make let's see. This week, I'm actually going to Vegas for a few days with the wife for her birthday. Next week, I'm going to be, I'm actually got an audition guest spot at the Caravan Comedy Club in Louisville.
Nice.
Dale Jones is headlining that week, so he's nice enough to get me a spot as I drive up to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I'll be headlining the Fort Wayne Comedy Club.
There you go.
Please, if any of you can show up, we need an audience. that club. in Fort Wayne, it's the Fort Wayne Comedy Club. It's not in Fort Wayne, but it's nearby. And so I'll be there the 11th and the 12th. But then I'm back in Florida for some show. My shows I book out there. And
Yep.
Turtle Tavern in Delray. Me and got Steve McGrew coming to town with me. So
nice. There you go.
And then Cocoa Beach and Gregory's Comedy Club, the 18th and 19th of November. So nice run in Florida.
Full schedule. Full schedule.
That's the best, man. You know what I mean? When you got like, I got this gig, like Comedy Zone has Augusta, Georgia, The Loft, which reopened, yep. which is awesome. I'm headlining that in December.
Nice.
The 15th or something. And then, but then the other part of the gig is Saturday in Fort Walton. So you got Friday, like, well, what the fuck do you do? You know, like I got to find a gig.
Right. So, and that's it. Yeah, that's kind of what I was having the conversation. I was like trying to figure out, you know, like, you know, I need more shows when I'm going and doing these shows in Louisiana and Ohio and just do a one day back and run. I'm like, I got to figure out how to put that piece of the puzzle together, you know?
Yeah. You got to be like a travel agent.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, who's in this town? Who's in this area? Who's in, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so it's definitely a juggling. It's definitely a juggle, man. It definitely is. So I applaud you, you know, in what you're doing, dude. Where can people follow you, Dougie? I'm going to put that up because I didn't ask you before we went on because
that's all right.
I'm sleep deprived right now.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm trying to combine things. I got kicked off Twitter years ago with like 10,000 followers.
Oh, really? But
on Instagram, you can follow me at Dougie Dangerous.
Dougie Dangerous.
My preferable. And then on TikTok and on Twitter, I could be found at Funny Fiduciary. Okay. That's what I do. I'm a licensed fiduciary.
Yeah, tell everybody about that. You are, we didn't really get into that. You are actually a licensed fiduciary. Yeah. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah. Why don't you say the word fiduciary there?
I can't.
Farm boy.
I can't. My motor skills.
See how he gave up on that, Jody? He was like,
Biden. That's my Biden impression.
Yeah. Well, you know, for 33 years, I've been a money manager, financial planner. And, you know, what's funny about that is, you know, when I work with Steve Trevino, it's actually nice enough to have me join in on shows with him. He says, he's like, look, man, I think this is your gig. This is your niche. You know, this is the interesting thing to me that you're going around the country telling jokes. Meanwhile, you manage millions of dollars and you make million-dollar investment decisions on a day-to-day basis, but you're running around telling jokes. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, for me, it's like I'm trying to get away. When I started doing comedy, it was to get away from that industry, the stresses right. and all that shit. I don't want to have anything. I wanted to be a completely different person. But now I'm actually – it's pretty cool because when I was at the World Series of Comedy, I met with a guy who runs APCA. And I don't think I can ever do comedy at a college. This is not my thing.
I've talked to him, yeah. He's a great dude.
Yeah, good dude, Eric. And I said, you know, yeah, I said, Eric. But, you know, but I would love to do investment seminars. So I'm writing my corporate / college presentation called The Funny Fiduciary, Laughing Your Way to Financial Independence. And they pay double at colleges for that shit. Yes. So, you know, I'm writing all
kinds of. They get credit. They actually get class credit for your sitting there listening to you.
Yeah. And that's huge, you know, so that to me is a great way to fill the calendar where when you go to a college and get $5,000, you know, during the week on a Wednesday or Thursday, then you go to the clubs, you know, and you make a few $100. You
make
a quarter of that or a fraction of that. But that's, you know, I schedule 12 of those a year, you know, that's $60,000, $80,000 a year of income just off those.
Right. Yeah. And Steve's right. Cause I sat there when he was telling you this and I was like, dude, he's hitting the net. You know, nail on the head, whatever you want to call it, because a friend of mine here in Atlanta, Carlos Rodriguez, he's been doing comedy for about 8-10 years and was trying to do more public speaking. He's a dental hygienist, you know, and he's very funny. Yeah. And he does these dental hygienist jokes. And then all of a sudden he linked what he does with the comedy. Now he's getting paid to go on cruises to do comedy about dental hygiene and all that, and gets paid like $5,000 or something stupid, and goes on these cruises now. And now his calendar is filled with doing and doing these credential courses about what dental hygiene.
Yeah, you know, that's the way to do it. And then of course, just the bottom line of writing clean again, because you know I want to put a dry bar out, so I'm putting together that 30-40 minutes of just you know Mormon family clean comedy.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you know this already. That's how we get the gigs. You know, headliners don't want somebody coming up going fucking pussy cunt.
Yep.
Opening up for them. So, you know, they like to have somebody can go up there and make people laugh for 20-30 minutes without you know tarnishing the stage, as they say.
Right, and that's the only reason. That's one of the main reasons I think I've done so well so far and moved along because I've stayed clean. I've stayed clean and been able to like stay, you know, down that path, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me this thing in Washington. He was like, "You're clean." I go, "Yeah, not right clean." I said, "I can go that, you know." And he goes, "No, no, no. That's what I need. That's what I want."
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Nice.
I mean, whatever it takes, you know.
Again, one more. Again, one more time. Let's hear it for. Let's hear it for Andy for getting another fucking yay. Good for you.
Fucker. No, but Joe Coy even. Joe Coy talked about that. Not Joe Coy. There was a guy I talked to at a bar, having a beer last weekend. And the guy goes, "I used to like Joe Coy. I don't like him anymore." I was like, "What do you mean you don't like Joe Coy anymore?" And he's like, "He said some pretty crass things now." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "He said this joke." And I go, "Okay." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "He's always been clean and funny." And then I go, "Well, guess what? He's got multi-million followers and sells out theaters. He can do whatever the hell he wants now. Yeah. He paid his ticket. He got to the big show. Now he's doing what he wants. Who cares? And people are still going to pay to see him. Yeah. He's to that level."
Yeah. And a lot of young comics got to learn that. They think, "Well, so-and-so's dirty." I'm like, "Well, you know, you have 3 followers on Twitter. You know, you need to like establish yourself as a broad-based, you know, capable of doing other things." And, you know, I was at an open mic a few weeks ago, and this comic comes out and opens with ass eating joke. And it's funny because the worst jokes you can tell in the beginning ended up curtailing to the least. Like if you're going to open with an ass eating joke, where do you go from there? You know what I mean? Like, you know, now you're going to tell people about, you know, you prefer Doritos over Tostitos. I mean, that's not.
Yeah.
You know, after an ass eating joke, I don't care what your choice of potato chip is. You know,
right, exactly.
Not that interesting.
Dougie's a very good teacher when it comes to comedy and structure and stuff. He's told me a lot of stuff. Like, "Hey, Jackass, you knew about 100 one-liners." I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? You're right."
Yeah, I think the first advice I gave at Andy when I met him was to quit. And then,
yes, 100%. Quit. Give up. He goes, "What the hell are you doing?
You're never
going to
make it."
He goes, "What are you doing in the same thing?" He goes, "Hell, I'm trying to get out myself."
Yeah. "Can you juggle? Are you capable of juggling? Yeah. Can you sing a tune? You know magic?"
Yeah. "Do you have a really short friend?"
Yeah. Can you throw your voice?
Oh, my goodness. That's some good stuff.
And you know what's funny about that, dude, is something like I've always been. Listen, that's my thing. For 33 years of my life, I've been giving people advice. You know, sometimes it's hard not to take that hat off when you're in that position, right?
Right.
And you know, and sometimes, you know, I've learned not to give unsolicited advice. You know, like,
right.
And that's why, like, when we were sitting back with Dave, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, I just met him too that weekend. I'm like,
yeah,
but. But that's just nature, you know what I mean? You want to just be helpful, you know?
No, that's good, and that's great, because it's very – and now I've talked about this before, and I think me and Jody talked about it, is like – and especially in the entertainment, everybody gets come up, good set. No, tell me what was wrong. Tell me what I need. Tell me what my weak thing. No. Okay. It might have been good overall in the audience. Got, you know, I didn't get booed off stage. I didn't bomb. But what were my weak points? Or what did I connect? Or what do I need, you know? What do I need, you know?
But nobody wants to hear that today.
No, nobody wants.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they can't handle the adversity. Most people today cannot. You know, it's like the old saying, like, you try to give somebody advice, like, "You think I'm stupid? You think I'm stupid?" I'm like, "If I thought you were stupid, I wouldn't be wasting my time giving you advice."
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you obviously, you know, I respect you enough to say, "Hey, look, you did, you know, did this good, but need to work on this," or, "Hey, here's what you might want to think about," or,
"Hey, by the way, dude, I just realized my battery on my iPad didn't bring my chargers running low."
No, it's no worries. We're about to land the plane anyways. We're about 49 minutes in, so we're about to land this plane a little early because I got to get to working. I got to get to work.
Yeah, get to work.
Got to get to work. You've already plugged your shows. Anything else, Dougie? Mark, you got any? I mean, Mark. You said your happy birthday to Mark, by the way. That was on my mind when I saw your TikTok, and I looked at you, and I saw C-Dad and said, "Mark, rest in peace, Mark, brother. Happy birthday."
Exactly.
Brother. Happy birthday, brother. Anyways, those of you who don't know, Jody's brother, Mark, and I grew up, went to school together, and unfortunately, he was killed, 18 years ago now?
Yeah.
18 years ago. Yeah. And so I saw that happy birthday ticket. It popped up on my thing. So anyways, I guess that's what slipped out. Jody, what do you got going on with TikTok, and you back up to 3 million followers. We got shirts. We got what do we got?
Well, since our TikTok's fixing to be canceled, I got to link everybody over, so I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny, dude. Has there been any new controversy on TikTok?
Not really. No.
Not really? Been kind of quiet?
No. It's kind of quiet at the moment.
We'll create some controversy so we can have something to talk about next week.
It don't take much. It don't take much.
Right. Well, I got to get to work. Those of you, we've got new Sugar Hugger stuff. These are the Sugar Hugger stickers. Green. I think Dougie froze or died. If he did, thanks for being a part of the show, Dougie. If you want a Sugar Hugger shirt, I got koozies. I got your shirt. I just haven't made it yet. I've got to shrink down the print to put it on yours. I have yours coming.
Are you saying I'm short?
You said a youth medium. All my logos are for adults. I mean, I will, but
I'll just be a big Sugar Hugger.
It'll be shoulder to shoulder, the logo. I don't care. I'll put it on you. I'll put it on you. I don't care. Look, Sugar Hugger. They're great. They're selling $20 a piece, $5 for koozies. If you buy two shirts, you get a free koozie. Everybody gets a free sticker with an order. $5 for shipping. DM me. We are putting up the order thing on the webpage. And yes, it does. It does pay for my gas. Every penny goes in my gas tank because gas is freaking expensive to go up and down the road now. 660 miles and all that. It's crazy. I mean, literally, like Doug said, you break even on some of these shows.
Yeah.
Because the gas is so expensive. So anyway, if you want to buy a shirt, support great. I know Jody has his stuff on Midget Mafia. I got Midget Mafia US sitting there right here.
Yep, not US.
Yep, midgetmafia.us. Don't forget Dougie. Wake Up Late with Dougie. You can find it on Facebook, YouTube. Check out Dougie. I made it Dougie Dangerous Instagram. Dougie's a great guy. If you know, he's coming. He said Florida everywhere. Check out his schedule. Very funny dude. I've enjoyed working with him and getting to know him over the years. He's been a great friend and kind of mentor and just a great, great comedian. He puts in the work. He's hilarious. He's got some clips up. Go see him. Support him. Support comedy. Yep. Other than that, I got to get to work right now. As of right now, we are set unless something changes. There's DC. That's from my truck. Look at that. I took that picture yesterday. That's how close to the Capitol I was at this audition. I was literally three blocks down.
So you were down the road at the ice cream shop.
Yes. Ice cream shop. Okay. We were at the ice cream shop and the Pelosi Percocet gun. Anyways, I swear to God, I'm going to use that yet. Anyways, November 8th, Greenville, South Carolina, 7:30 PM. So far now, the Alchemy Theater. I got permission yesterday from Robert Quigley for his presidential comedy fundraising tour. I'm one of the comedians on the tour. I will be in Greenville, South Carolina. I'll be at various dates across the country. I don't have those yet. So we have some on Robert Quigley's page. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. We've got some theaters. Dates and places will be coming out. I know we're doing a lot of we're supposed to do all of the 16 Funny Bones across the country. So we got that coming up, plus a few other things. I don't have dates yet, but as soon as I do, I will be posting them on my website, which I will and am keeping current, up-to-date information about my shows, where they are, and all that. Most of the show tickets are between $35 to $250. The $250, you sit at a table with Robert, and there's a dinner. But if you just want to see the show, typical tickets are around $25, $35, depending on the place and the venue. So they're affordable, just like a regular show, and it is a regular comedy show. It's not just, vote for me. It is a comedy show, full-blown comedy show with me and one or two other comedians, and then Robert does a little speech and talks about what his platform is. So it's a comedy show, and trust me, we're not selling timeshare. We're just entertaining you. We're entertaining you, and I'm very excited because the fact that there's a candidate, it's like, you know what, I want to bring people together, and laughter and comedy unites people, and that's what we need. We got to be united, man. We can't be separate. We can't be arguing. We got to be united in the things that are stupid in life and that we do and talk about that. So we're going to be making fun of Republicans. We're going to be making fun of Democrats. We're going to be just making fun of us and ourselves and us as humans. And then, hey, we really need to, he's going to tell you what his plan is and what his thoughts are and what, how he foresees doing things. So, I mean, it was a very interesting conversation. We spent an hour and a half talking about what his thoughts and plans are. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, it's great. I said, but the main thing is, he goes, you're here to entertain and make fun. So I just get to make fun of everybody. And he goes, yes, because that's what I'm paying you to do. I'm like, yeah,
that's good. That's awesome.
Like hot dog. Yeah. I just hope I can make it to 2 years and I get kicked off the tour or something or whatever. So anyways, that's the show, folks. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Dougie, for joining us. Appreciate you, brother. Check out his show, Wake Up Late with Dougie. Dougie Almeida, IG. Anything else you got, Jody, before we sign off?
I'm good. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
it. Sir.
Appreciate it. How many cameos are you doing right now?
I got 140 in my quote list right now.
So we're still going strong.
Yeah, we're still going strong.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Hey, we'll be doing this next week. Same time, same place. Be getting closer to Thanksgiving. And so we'll be talking about Thanksgiving stuff maybe next week. And, you know.
That'll work.
Sounds good. Sounds good to you. Sounds good to me. Unless something comes up. Hey, thank you very much. Reach out to me. DM me if you want a shirt. Or just say, hey, you suck. The show sucks. I take anything. I don't care. But if you do, come on. And say, at least give us 5 stars.
Tell us suck with the 5 stars.
I'll take it. I don't care.